Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where our job is to help you build visibility, professional credibility, and connection with your ideal client by putting the human at the center of innovative marketing, so you can build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship with your ideal clients. I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm honored that you're here with me. If you haven't joined our wonderful marketing transformation community yet, go to innovabiz.co and collect your free gift as well. Do subscribe to the show and also leave a review because it helps others find us. Let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
Know your customer better than they know themselves. Great Steve Jobs quote there. And to the degree you know them well, you can innovate because you can provide them a solution to what they're feeling. And if you will do that, you will continue to evolve and grow and change with the times because what they need now is not what they're going to need next year. And so once you figure it out, you've got to keep your ear to that ground and stay close to them because it's always changing, especially, you know, in these times when we all get hit upside the head, this is the time to get even closer to your customers and clients. And again, assuming you possess a lot of these traits, the ideas will come to you. You know, you'll see it. And you'll see it faster than your customer and client will see it because you're talking to 10, 20, 30 of them at any given time. And in some cases, you have access to thousands of them.
Hi there, innovator. It's great to be back with another episode. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. And I hope you really enjoyed my recent conversations with Glenn Twiddle, Australia's number one real estate coach, and with John Andrews of Photify. I'm really excited and privileged to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest today, Gino Wickman. Gino is the creator of the Entrepreneurial Operating System. He's the founder of EOS Worldwide, an organization that helps thousands of businesses implement EOS with the aid of an international team of over 350 professional and certified EOS implementers. He's the author of the award-winning best-selling books Traction, Get a Grip, Rocket Fuel, and his latest book is The Entrepreneurial Leap. Gino is devoting time and energy towards helping entrepreneurs in the making get a huge jump start on taking their entrepreneurial leap, which is why he wrote the book and created the movement around it. The mission of Entrepreneurial Leap is to find all of the entrepreneurs in the making at any age, wherever they are, and to help them realize their purpose and live the life they were born to live. In our discussion today, Gino talked to me about the six traits that every successful entrepreneur has, why they are inherent character traits, and how you can test for them. We talked about entrepreneurship as something that you are rather than something that you do. And Gino explained the 16-day entrepreneurial challenge. Without further ado, then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Gino Wickman. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from Detroit, Michigan in the USA, Gino Wickman. Gino is the creator of the Entrepreneurial Operating System. He's the founder of EOS Worldwide, and he's an award-winning author. Welcome to the podcast, Gino. It's a real privilege to have you as my guest today.
Happy to be here.
Now, Mike Payton, who was our guest on episode 240 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, suggested that we have a conversation with you, Gino. So a big hello to Payton.
Yes.
Now, Gino's books include Traction, as well as Get a Grip, Rocket Fuel, How to Be a Great Boss, and What the Heck is EOS? Now, your latest book is Entrepreneurial Leap, and it asks the question, do you have what it takes to become an entrepreneur? So I'm really looking forward to digging
deeper into that. But before we get started on that, tell us a little bit about where the idea of entrepreneurial operating system, where was that germinated? How did you kind of take that and run with it, and why?
You bet. So it was a culmination of a handful of data points, if you will, or awarenesses. And so I had taken over a family business. I've been an entrepreneur since 21 years old, and I've been obsessed about business and what makes businesses run well and what makes great businesses. And so upon taking over the family business, I kind of worked my way up from the bottom and ended up taking the business over within a year and a half and discovering that it was in dire need of a turnaround, and I really felt I could save it. And so I was able to turn the business around in about 3 years, ran it for 7 years. And so with that, during that experience, I got involved in an organization called Young Entrepreneurs, now known as the Entrepreneurs Organization. And it was when I was in the Entrepreneurs Organization, meeting with my EO brethren, if you will. We would meet every month as a group of about 11 of us at the time. What I realized is, going through this family turnaround, I thought that we were the only screwed up business that existed. And I quickly realized, holy cow, and this is a direct quote in my brain, so I'm allowed to use profanity when it's a direct quote. But I looked around the table after about 6 months of meetings, and I said, holy cow, these guys are as fucked up as I am. And so what I realized is, entrepreneurs are not perfect. And I saw a huge opportunity, because what I had done for my father in his business, I felt I could do for these entrepreneurs. And so that was kind of data points one and two. And then the other was, I'm a 23-year student of Dan Sullivan's Strategic Coach Program. And about 3 years into that program, I had an aha moment and absolute clarity about what my true unique ability is, what my God-given talent is, what I'm genetically encoded to do. And that is help entrepreneurs get everything they want out of their businesses. And so we successfully sold that business. I stayed on for a year and a half to transition in the new leadership team out of Virginia, and then retired from the business, and then set out to pursue my passion and my reason for being. And so it was all of those light bulb moments that I realized what I'm here to do is help entrepreneurs. And so that is what led me to that. As for, you know, how I created EOS, it took me 5 years after beginning that leap to ultimately put the finishing touches on what is now known as EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System. And that was just a matter of working with, doing hundreds of sessions with companies and honing, refining, and testing lots of ideas and tools, and ultimately whittling that down to a system with 20 tools, a very specific process, and a very specific model that gets entrepreneurs some great results in their business.
It's a fascinating story. Now, for anyone that hasn't read the book, and I sort of wonder why, if you're in the entrepreneurial space, Traction is the book which outlines the process in complete detail pretty well.
Yes.
And we've had quite a number of EOS implementers on the show in the past that you can listen to, and they're kind of the coaches that help organizations put this in place. One of the things I'm curious about, it's been a while since you've written some books or published some books, and now the new book, Entrepreneurial Leap, which was launched back in October, if I remember correctly. Why that book and why now?
Yeah, so that's great. You know, it's funny you say I haven't written a book in a while. I've written 6 books in the last 11 or 12 years. So it feels like it hasn't been a while since I've written a book. And after I finish every book, I'm frankly burnt out. I mean, it is a labor of love, and it is, you know, truly birthing something. And so, yes, it launched in October, and I definitely need a break from writing books. But it's about 2 to 3 years between this book and the previous one. The previous 5 were all around this EOS concept we've been talking about. And what happened when I turned 40, as I was building EOS worldwide, I said, when I turn 50, I'm going to shift my energy to helping entrepreneurs in the making. I want to go to the front end of the entrepreneurial journey. And so I was very patient over that 10 years as I ultimately built and then sold EOS Worldwide. We sold the company 2 years ago. I still own 12.5%. I still own all the books. I still have clients. I'm still the EOS guy, if you will. But I'm shifting about half of my working time to this new project that is Entrepreneurial Leap. And so it's been brewing inside of me for 10 years. I finally got a chance to hunker down and write it. And as you said, it came out in October, and here it is. And the goal is to impact and help 1 million entrepreneurs in the making, give them a huge jumpstart on becoming what they're intended to be, and that is great entrepreneurs.
So you, in the book, you talk about entrepreneurship as a talent that you're either born with or not, and that a lot of people decide that they want to go into business on their own and believe they're entrepreneurs. So talk to us a little bit about that, because I'm curious as to, aren't there a set of skills that you could learn if you're really driven enough to be an entrepreneur?
Yeah, it's such a great question. It's a great place to start too, because, you know, you're bringing up a very controversial topic, and you know, people agree with this concept and they don't. And you know, you couldn't beat this belief out of me. And that is that you are born with these traits. And so I call them the six essential traits that every true entrepreneur has. And what it's funny is, you know, so as I wrote that and as I tested it, as I proved it, as I spent years really putting those traits to the test, it's less controversial than I thought it was going to be, because first and foremost, every true entrepreneur 100% agrees with it. But then of course some people don't. And so the point here is, and the controversial statement is, that like you said, you are born with these six essential traits. They cannot be taught. Being an entrepreneur is something you are. It is not something that you do. It's not this skill set that you can learn. And so you're truly born with it. It is truly nature over nurture. And, you know, I believe about 4% of the world possesses these six essential traits. And that's what this whole project is about, is finding that 4% wherever they are, inner cities, corporations, unemployed, in the military, wherever they are, and helping them realize what they are. And again, giving them a huge jumpstart on, like I said, becoming what they're supposed to become. But again, I strongly believe that you're born with them.
And what's the core then? You talk about helping those that have those core traits open up their eyes to the possibility that they could actually be an entrepreneur, or they have the traits to be an entrepreneur. So if they want to, they can be that. What's the connection there in terms of opening their eyes? Because people, you know, I mean, we're going through the depths of the COVID-19 situation, and a lot of people are going to be losing their jobs. So they might be looking for other alternatives. But those that are in kind of a comfortable employed situation may not be driven to start up something themselves. And even though they have all the attributes, the spark hasn't been lit.
Yeah, it's such a great question. You know, so where I'll start is, you know, again, like you said, as we sit here dealing with this crisis, and God only knows what's going to happen. You know, historically, though, these are the time that spawn most of the great entrepreneurs. And so, again, as we're talking about, these people have these six essential traits, but a lot of times they don't realize it. And the truth of the matter is, I'm writing this book and teaching this to the world, because what I'm doing is I'm teaching my 18-year-old self, who was this mislabeled derelict, and I was lost and confused and insecure. And if I had this content at 18, I would have been much further ahead, because I didn't really realize I was an entrepreneur until I was 29 years old. And so with that, the idea, you know, especially in these times, is to create awareness. And so just like with this podcast, right now, there's a mother or a father listening that has this son that's rambunctious and a little wild and crazy and has ADD. Well, there's a really good sign that that is probably an entrepreneur in the making. And my goal is that they hand them this book or have them listen to the audio, go to the website, interact with the tools, and help them realize what they are very early on. But just as quickly, it's also the 55-year-old person in corporate America or the corporate world, and they're wondering why it's never quite felt right working in this corporate world and this bureaucracy when all along they've been an entrepreneur. And it's that person that gets laid off in these times that all of a sudden they have no choice but to figure out how to survive, and they take their entrepreneurial leap. And it's funny, at this time, I've also issued to the world what I call the 16-day entrepreneurial leap challenge. And what it is after reading Entrepreneurial Leap and confirming that you think you might be an entrepreneur in the making, the next step is then to download for free the Leap Journal. And the Leap Journal is an exercise that you do 30 minutes a day, taking you through each chapter of the book, and it takes you into a deep dive to really further gain conviction and certainty and clarity that taking the entrepreneurial leap is right for you. So hopefully I've indirectly answered the question. But all of that said, you know, I just want to say two other quick things. Number one, let's talk about what those traits are very quickly so that your listeners know what we're talking about. Six essential traits. They are visionary, passionate, problem solver, driven, risk taker, and responsible. And the way that I wrote this book is in three parts. And I'm taking this reader on a emotional, psychological, philosophical, soul-searching journey of discovery to first confirm whether they are or are not. Once they confirm, we take them to part two, which is what I call glimpse. And that's showing them a glimpse of all of their options and opportunities as an entrepreneur. And then from there, we go to part three, which is what I call path. And that's showing them a path that will greatly increase their odds of success and help them avoid half the mistakes they're about to make. Well, with that, if we go back to that first part, confirm, and as I said those six things to your listener, again, if it's a parent listening, you know, run your child through that filter. If it's you listening that thinks you might be, run yourself through that filter. But then there's a free assessment you can take on the website that within 10 minutes, you're going to know if you have these six essential traits.
And I'll come back to the traits in a moment, but I was thinking as you were talking about people that might not be fitting into the current education system, or you know, those that have been in corporate for a longer time and have felt uncomfortable or frustrated or unfulfilled all along. The idea of misfits and those frustrations boiling over, at what point are people kind of driven to make that change?
Well, so that's the tricky part, because there's no one answer. You know, it's not like, you know, at age 27, you're going to get frustrated, you're going to take a leap, because there are incredible success stories of people taking their entrepreneurial leap at age 12 and taking their entrepreneurial leap at age 72. So it's never about an age. And again, it's about a circumstance a lot of times. Some people are savvy enough and smart enough to know right out of the chute that they are. But again, as we're talking about, a lot of times it's during crisis. And so we've now helped almost 100,000 entrepreneurs build amazing companies. And a lot of those companies, I've been doing this for 30 years now, and so through two or three crises, a lot of those entrepreneurs started their business during that crisis. It's amazing how many were laid off, out of a job, fending for their life, if you will. And so that's one of the points. And so it's less about frustration as it is about survival in that situation. But it's also, you know, like you said, frustration is another one. And it might just be a boss that you're just sick and tired of this boss after 5 years. And you realize you can do it better than your boss, and you go out and start your own business. And so that story I've heard 1,000 times.
Yeah. Yeah. I know in my situation, it was one of those cases where I'd had a quite a long corporate career and was actually very, very happy in that career for all but the last 2 years of that. And then the last 2 years, I was very frustrated. I'd gone from, you know, excitement, getting up in the morning, going to work, what's on today, to basically turning over in bed and thinking, oh, I have to go to work. I really don't want to. And then when I went through reorganizations and various factors, I chose to take a redundancy. And that was the trigger to then go out and start something myself. Mm. Now, in those times, of course, my timing wasn't real good because I started just before the next big global event, which was the global financial crisis at the time. And so it was kind of, you know, there was a trigger event that got me started. And then the global event that was impacting everyone at that time then really tested my nerve and passion and will to get through it. So in terms of those traits then, talk to us a little bit more about those six traits and also the idea, because I'm still kind of in two minds about this. Either you have them or you don't.
I appreciate that.
I'm sort of thinking, you know, is there a continuum that, you know, you've got certain qualities. Some people are really good at some things. Others are not as good as that, but they can still do it. So there's kind of a continuum. And at which point, do you drop below the line so that your entrepreneurship might be something that is too big a challenge for you?
Yeah. And that's the power of the assessment, you know. And so what I would urge is, you know, if your listener takes the assessment on the website, and if you score 90 or higher, I mean, it's a really good sign that you're probably an entrepreneur and you probably possess these six essential traits. And anything less, you know, starts to become a point of concern. And obviously, if you score an 89, compared to a 12, there's a lot more concern with somebody that scores a 12 than an 89. Yeah. And so from there, it's, you know, certainly kind of a spectrum. But, you know, all of the entrepreneurs that I work with and that I've interviewed and that I've shared these with and have taken the assessment, I mean, they all just redline at 90 plus. And so with that, I love it. And I do want you to be honest in your beliefs, because it's fun for us to have a good discussion and debate about this, because I think that's better for your listener to decide for themselves what they really believe. Mm. Because, you know, this book may not be for them. This content may not be for them. And that's what's great about that is everyone has opinions. We don't all agree. And we just do our best to, you know, help as many people as we can help. So with that, what I'll do is I'll do just do kind of a 2-minute deeper dive into each one to create some clarity, because what I would love is for the listener to be just kind of, like I said earlier, doing a little checkup on themselves as to, is this them? Have they always exhibited these traits? And or if they're thinking about someone they're mentoring or somebody in their family, or again, a son or a daughter, to be thinking about them from that standpoint as well. And so the visionary trait is someone who has lots of ideas. You connect the dots. You have a sixth sense. You're able to kind of see around corners, and you have this way of seeing things that other people don't see. You just kind of put things together. And so I call that a sixth sense. Passionate is all about passion for your product or your service or your thing, the thing you want to bring to the world, the solution you want to bring to the world. So again, it's a passion about that. It's a strong belief that you will bring this to the world, that the world needs this. It's a void that you want to fill. And Steve Jobs was always accused of having a reality distortion field. He was so passionate about his belief, people would tell him he's crazy, it's not possible, but he did not listen to any of that. And obviously he proved a lot of people wrong. Problem solver is that you're the kind of person, you're a creative problem solver. You tend to lean into problems when they arise. When you get hit with a setback, it kind of energizes you. Again, you push through it. You're an optimist by nature. Every cloud has a silver lining to you. You see solutions when other people are seeing problems. Driven is all about this internal fire that you've always had, this sense of urgency, this competitive nature. You're very competitive. You want to succeed. You're self-motivated. You hustle. Risk taker is all about when faced with a tough decision, you don't freeze. You lean into it. You push through it. You make a decision and you go. When an entrepreneur starts their business and takes their entrepreneurial leap, certainly that's a big risk. But the reality of it is over the next 10 years, they've got 1,000 decisions to make that could potentially put them out of business. And they lean into every one of those decisions and they make the tough decision. That's all risk taking. They are rebellious by nature. They're willing to fail. They believe in kind of begging for forgiveness than asking for permission. I always like to say a stop sign is a mere suggestion to an entrepreneur. And then number six, responsible. And responsible is that you default to blaming no one. In other words, when something goes wrong, you look at yourself immediately. You don't blame others. And so there's two types of people in the world, those that take total responsibility when something happens and those that blame everyone else. And an entrepreneur errs on the side of blaming themselves. They look in the mirror, as it said. And then so one of our EOS implementers had this great definition of responsibility. And so he says, if a meteor hits your building, it's your fault. And anyone that believes that has this trait, because the truth is you chose that building, you built that building, you chose to be there. And so that's, you know, kind of gives you a little glimpse of all six with a little bit deeper dive.
Mm, yeah, well, that's a pretty comprehensive outline of the list. So thank you for that, Gino. Now, I'm fascinated by the last one, the responsibility, and particularly that example you gave. I would say that there are very few people that would take that approach, that would say, you know, in an extreme situation like that, or let's take the current situation we're in, the COVID-19, that it's actually my responsibility. So a lot of people, I guess across the board, and this is including, you know, 99% of the population that are not entrepreneurs and don't have this skill, but are always looking to blame somebody else. And our politicians are classic examples of models that model that behavior.
Yeah, so a couple of thoughts on that. Did you finish your question or do you want to say something else there?
No, that's I finished, yeah.
So I love it because, you know, it prompts three things. And I want to start by indirectly starting to answer your question and then build up to the answer to your question, at least from my perspective. You know, so one of the ways I describe this, because it is interesting, people's reaction to, you know, how is responsible a trait of an entrepreneur? When you look at these other five, it just seems so different. And it is. And I'm hopefully going to prove that to you or convince you of that. Because the first is the point about it being nature over nurture, the point about you're born with these traits. And when we talk about responsible, I mean, here's the reality, and here's how I know that it's nature over nurture and you're born with it. Because if you picture a household with four children, and your listener, if they think about all the people in their life, they can put everyone in their life into one of two categories. When something bad happens, half the people they know take total responsibility and half the people they know blame everyone and woe is me and look what they did to me and blah, blah, blah. So with that said, you can go into a family with four kids and in almost every case, there's a split. Whether it's 3-1 or 1-3 or 2-2, those four children, some of them take responsibility and some of them don't. Well, how is that possible in the same household, same parents, same upbringing, same raised the exact same way? And so that's point number one. Point number two is, you know, when you talk about getting to this COVID-19 virus, I'm going to save that for the third point, but let's talk about any issue because an entrepreneur, when something bad happens in the business that they had nothing to do with, they immediately default to, this is my problem to solve. I got to get to the root of this. I got to dive into this. This is my problem to solve. Again, where most of the world, let's say half, sees that issue and goes, whoa, I hope they solve that. And just pray that it gets solved on its own. Well, a true entrepreneur leans into it. And so now let's go to this COVID-19 and this crisis. Well, the truth of the matter is entrepreneurs run into the fire while everyone is running away. So what's going on real time right now is this world is being reinvented by entrepreneurs. Nothing's going to be this. And I don't say nothing, but things are going to change after all of this. Things are going to be reinvented. The way we do things are going to be different. And that's all entrepreneurs just adjusting to what has happened. And when you talk about COVID-19, I'm not saying that an entrepreneur says, I created that virus, but they say, wow, that's a problem and I'm going to solve it. Because I assure you, I don't know what the number would be, but with 7.2 billion people on this planet, I know there are at least a million leaning into this saying, I'm going to be part of the solution. I'm going to help solve this. I'm going to take responsibility. And everyone's doing it in their own way. Doctors and nurses are doing it in hospitals. Scientists are doing it. Entrepreneurs are doing it. These are people that are leaning into this problem saying, I'm going to help be the solution to this problem. And so that's what responsibility means, as opposed to, oh my God, I'm terrified. Hopefully somebody solves this and I'm going to sit here and suck my thumb until it ends.
Yeah. That's a great answer. And I think, you know, one of the things about a crisis like this is that it does demonstrate all of those traits of human behavior, you know, whether people have it or whether they're showing it, that you mentioned. And I agree with you that a lot of people, a lot of entrepreneurs are now going forward and saying, I'm going to be part of the solution here. Now, that's not to say that, you know, I can solve the COVID-19. I can develop a vaccine that will cure people or a vaccine that will protect people. That's not my expertise and obviously something that's beyond my capability, but I can be there and say, well, what can I do to reach out and connect with people in different ways that will support them going through this? Because we can't connect by the normal means that we go out to meetings or go out to networking events or Chamber of Commerce events or whatever it might be. And other people I see, like personal trainers, putting their personal trainer routines online because people can't get to the gym and so on. And so, or restaurants, instead of shutting down their kitchen, they continue to cook the meals and they've repurposed their waitstaff to go out and home deliver the meals to people. So there's examples like that, which to me is an entrepreneurial solution, if you like, to the situation. It's not going to solve the core problem, but it's going to help people deal with the problem in their own way.
Exactly.
All right, Gina. Well, this is absolutely fascinating. Now, coming back to the 16-day entrepreneurial leap challenge, is that time bound? Because I'm thinking we might actually post that up as a separate post as soon as we finish this recording and share that with my audience as well, so that they can jump on that even before this episode airs.
That would be fantastic. And if you want to just reach out after, I shot a 2-minute video that sets it up and I'll show you where those resources are. That would be fantastic. I'd really appreciate that.
Great. Well, I think it's a good time to move on to the Buzz, which is our innovation round. And it's designed to help our audience who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field with some tips from your experience. So I've got 5 questions and hopefully you'll give us some really insightful answers and inspire the listener to go and do something awesome today as a result. So first question is, what's the number one thing anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Wow. And so what I would suggest, because I, you know, when you say innovative, it's such an interesting thing, because I don't consider myself to be an innovator, but people would accuse me of being innovative. And so the way that I operate is, you know, I certainly start with a passion. And so you've got to have a passion. You've got to be passionate about something, whatever that thing is. And then again, all I can talk about is me as an entrepreneur. And so obviously my passion is helping entrepreneurs get everything they want from their businesses. And so what I do is I get my ear as close to the ground as I possibly can by getting as close to my customers and clients as I can and get inside of their head and understand what they're experiencing so that I can provide them tremendous value. And so my advice is always, know your customer better than they know themselves. Great Steve Jobs quote there. And to the degree you know them well, you can innovate because you can provide them a solution to what they're feeling. And if you will do that, you will continue to evolve and grow and change with the times, because what they need now is not what they're going to need next year. And so once you figure it out, you've got to keep your ear to that ground and stay close to them, because it's always changing, especially, you know, in these times when we all get hit upside the head. This is the time to get even closer to your customers and clients. And again, assuming you possess a lot of these traits, the ideas will come to you. You know, you'll see it. And you'll see it faster than your customer and client will see it, because you're talking to 10, 20, 30 of them at any given time. And in some cases, you have access to thousands of them. So that would be my best answer there.
Yeah, that's great advice. And it comes back to the problem-solving trait that is one of the six traits you talked about. And I know from my own experience, you know, if I face a problem and solving that problem for myself, and I get a huge buzz out of that, and then people often tell me, oh, that's really, really innovative or really creative. And I just think, well, I've just solved the problem. So it kind of speaks to, if you're really understanding your client's problems and able to solve them, that does constitute innovation.
And that prompts us specific, because it's always helpful to give you a couple specific examples. And it's, so let's go back to EOS, the entrepreneurial operating system that I created. You know, people would consider that to be innovative when you really understand how it works and the impact that it creates and kind of the science behind the whole thing. But for me, it was just 5 years of doing sessions with clients and saying, what are your problems? And trying a bunch of things to solve their problems. And so it was doing a lot of reps. It was seeing a lot of data. It was practicing a lot of things over and over and over and seeing what worked. And then out of that, 5 years later and 500 sessions later, EOS was created. So, you know, it's not like I woke up day one with it. Innovative idea. And I would suggest that it's very rare that it ever happens that way. It's people that are in there all the time, seeing all the patterns and trends, and the innovation is, you know, the byproduct. So I never viewed that as innovative, but, you know, that is certainly innovation. And then same thing with Entrepreneurial Leap. This is 30 years of my life obsessing about entrepreneurs, looking at every one of them that took their entrepreneurial leap and what worked and what didn't, and then putting it all in a book so that people have a turnkey answer and it'll help make the road a lot less bumpy.
Great. All right. Now, what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas? I think you might have just answered that.
Yeah, indirectly. I think we, and with such a long answer on the first one, probably from a time point, it was good that I hit one and two all in one fell.
Great. All right. Now, do you have a favorite resource that you use most often?
Resource? Wow. Help me understand. Give me a little context around from what standpoint? Like, what are we talking about? What context?
From any standpoint. So it could be a tool that you use to keep track of your ideas or developing your writing journal to write books. Or it could be, you know, some people have said, the internet or how to connect with customers, these sort of things.
Yeah. Okay. So that is an easy one. And it is a legal pad and a pen.
Yeah.
So for 30 years of my life, you know, people laugh, make fun of me at that damn legal pad and pen that I always have with me. So, you know, there has been so much science around the power of writing and what that does for you creatively from a retention standpoint. So journaling, same thing. I just love a yellow legal pad. But if you ever see me sitting at Starbucks, which you will 2 hours every week for the last 20 years, there's the legal pad and there's the pen. I mean, EOS was created on a legal pad and pen. So my number one resource is that legal pad and pen. And where technology obviously is so widely embraced, all of my tech friends laugh at my legal pad. Before I go to bed every night, I lay out the next day on a legal pad. I mean, I literally spell out everything I'm going to get done the next day in sequential order. I sleep better, I wake up more ready, and I work from that legal pad all day. And every promise I make to somebody, every commitment, everything I'm going to do, I'm just jotting it down on the legal pad, and I'm just working my way through my legal pad. And it just, for me, makes me more creative, makes me more productive. So that's an easy answer for me. That's my number one resource.
Okay, that's great. How do you keep track of the notes you make then to come back and revisit them?
So I try to be very disciplined about the notes I make, because, you know, I could make 1,000 notes in a year, and I know that I'm not going back to, you know, 20 of those the next year. And so I'm very disciplined about deciding what goes on the list. And so I have a master list of all of my best ideas, my best quotes, my best insights. And so it goes there. If it's worthy, the rest, I throw them out. And if they're that good, they'll come back to me. So, and that's ideas and things like that. Anything else that is more time bound, for instance, if there's something I've got to do in June, it just goes right into my calendar. So that gets time blocked in my calendar as an all day event or at that specific time. I don't leave anything on a list for me to have to come back to that list later. It's in my calendar. And so everything on that legal pad is for the next 24 hours. Outside of that, if it's really good, it goes on that master list of mine. If it's time bound, it goes onto my calendar.
Hmm. Yeah, good system.
I try to keep as little as possible and travel light. There's so much capacity. And so I live by less is more. And Essentialism is an incredible book if your listeners have not read it.
Okay, we'll have a look at that one. Okay, now I think I might know the answer to the next question, but we'll let you answer it. What's the best way to keep a client on track?
Well, I feel like that one is easy, and so I'm pausing to make sure that this is too simplistic, because I am a very accountable person, a highly accountable person. I am a fanatic about resolution. I have utter disdain for people that don't follow through with their commitments. And so when you ask, you know, how I hold my client.
Yeah. How do you keep your clients on track?
Keep my clients on track. I kick them in the ass. So I don't know how to say that, but I'm not shy about when they're not honoring their commitments, when they're not doing what they said, when they aren't following their intention that they stated, I call it out within seconds. There's no time to play around. In other words, if my clients, we get really clear on the end result they're striving for, and everything they're doing needs to be working toward that end result. And anytime I see them acting outside of something that's going to get them there, I kick them in the ass. I call it out. I say it. I am not shy. I'm a pretty intense dude, and they appreciate it, and they pay me well for it.
I think a lot of that comes back to really clear communication and clear expectations too. And I think that's where many people kind of drop the ball a little bit.
Yeah. And by the way, to grab that, you know, it's, I'm not trying to get them to do what I would do. Mm. I'm getting them to do what they said they were going to do. So that's what's really important is, yeah, you know, I know what each one of them wants, and I know when each one of them are not acting in alignment with that. And again, when I say my client, this is 3 to 7 people on a leadership team of a company. And so I'm not keeping an eye on one. I'm keeping an eye on 3 to 7 per company, for what that's worth.
Hmm. All right. And the final buzz question is, what's the number one thing any entrepreneur can do to differentiate themselves?
So again, this feels so simple. I'm just going to say it and we'll see what more comes out of this, but it's to be yourself, you know, to know yourself, be yourself, and articulate that. You know, it took me 50 years to figure that out. I no longer apologize for who I am. I spent my 20s, 30s, and 40s apologizing for who I am. But it's to, as early as possible, be yourself, know yourself, and brand that. And so, you know, let's pretend you have people listening right now that are freelancers, one person shows, an employee. This applies to every single one of you. And for the entrepreneur that has an entity larger than themselves, one person, 10 people, 1,000 people, it's the same story. Your business is an extension of you and your unique ability and your passions. And so your job is just to clearly articulate who you uniquely are. Don't apologize for it. And the byproduct is that you will be unique and stand out against all of your competitors.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that. I mean, a lot of people give me a similar answer, be yourself. They elaborate and explain it a little bit differently because everybody's different. Everybody is different. You don't need to try too hard to be different. It's actually much harder to be the same as somebody else or try to be the same as somebody else.
Yeah, and let's use a specific, okay? And so when I started with EOS and I was about 5 years in and working with lots of clients, I really wanted to get feedback from my clients on how I was different than every other business coach option out there. And the results came back and it was really two things. Number one is that I hold them very accountable, you know, so I'm intense. I hold them accountable. I'm a fanatic about resolution. And then there's just this real raw authenticity. And so that's my secret formula. And so with that secret formula, that's why all of my clients kept referring me to more clients. And if my biggest competitor tried to brand themselves as this accountable, authentic individual, they'd fail because that's not who they really are. And so their job, you know, and let's pretend that they're this really nice, I'm trying to think of another word, then market that because you're going to attract a bunch of really nice, these kind of people, and they're going to refer you to those kind of people. So you don't need to come get my clients. My clients are looking for accountable and authentic. Go get the clients that are looking for nice, you know, so hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think that's a really important point is, you know, trying to attract clients that are not a good fit for you, who you actually are. So that's one of the key things of why you want to differentiate yourself is I'm here for my clients because they're the ones that resonate with me. And there's some people out there that, or there's probably more people out there that won't resonate with me that than will. And that's fine. They need to go to somebody else who they'll resonate with.
If you want your ass kicked, come to me. If you want somebody to tell you everything's going to be okay, then go to him or her. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we're all different and everybody's looking for something different.
Yeah. Well, great, Gino. Thanks for getting us through the buzz round. Now, where can people find out a little bit more about you, read some more about your background, get a hold of your books, and maybe even reach out and say thanks for what you've shared with us today?
Yeah, you bet. So everything is at e-leap.com. And so that's the website. That's the epicenter of everything. All things entrepreneurial leap, if you will. There are 9 free tools. And so the 2 I want to really call out for your listeners, because I hope they go there right now, fill out the assessment. It's free, as are the other 8 tools. Fill out the assessment. You can do it in 10 minutes. You can also download a free chapter of the book, the first 30 pages, and so they can get a sense of the material, the concept, the message, and see if it's right for them. And if it pulls them in, then by all means, go buy the book. And so those would be the 2 things I would call out. And again, everything else would be in the website. They can sign up for the weekly video that I put out, the weekly message that I write. Lots of great content for anybody that thinks that they might be an entrepreneur in the making, or anyone that has somebody in their life that they think is an entrepreneur in the making and they want to help them realize what they are.
Yeah, and I'd add to that. I mean, we'll have links to that in the show notes, but I would add to that that even if you are already in business and believe yourself to be an entrepreneur, there's actually a lot of really valuable information in the book itself because I've read it and in the information that Gino shares.
And if I may, I want to add something to that because you prompt something that I would have never anticipated with this book. And that is for anyone that has taken their entrepreneurial leap, this is a great checkup to make sure that you made the right decision. And so it will literally do a checkup on where you are in this startup that you're in. And some people sadly are going to realize, holy cow, I shouldn't have done this. This is not for me. And that will save them 10 years of hell, quite frankly. But then it's also going to help the ones that made the right decision really tweak some of the mistakes that you made and fix them and get you back on a better path. So thanks for calling that out. I would have never expected that there was that ancillary value for startups.
Yeah. All right. Now, what's the parting piece of advice you'd like to leave our listener today, Gino?
So if I had to pick one, because I could pick from a handful of things, I write an entire chapter on 10-year thinking, okay, and something that transformed my life when I was 35 years old. And so it would be that. If everyone listening would just shift their thinking to 10-year thinking, get away from wanting it now, doing it now, you know, building this whatever in the next year. If you shift to what you want 10 years from now and you just start moving toward that, time slows down, you're more peaceful, and ironically, you get there faster. And so shift to 10-year thinking, because you can accomplish anything in 10 years. And even the 60-year-old listening right now, listen, you've got 25 good years left. 10-year thinking works for you, just like it does for the 20-year-old that's listening that, you know, has six 10-year cycles left. So anyway, it will transform your life.
Yeah, great advice. And I agree with you, this short-term thinking, you've got to be an overnight success. You know, I was at a conference a couple of weeks ago just before everything got shut down, and, you know, the general theme of all the speakers was, here's what really happened in my journey. They're all very successful people, but here's what really happened in my journey. And people kind of say to me, you're an overnight success, but overnight success took often 20 years. So 10-year thinking is definitely...
And by the way, I wrestled with calling it 20-year thinking, but that's a little too overwhelming for people. But it does typically take 20 years for an overnight success. And by the way, when you shift to that 10-year thinking, you just make better decisions. You will make better decisions today thinking 10 years out than you will thinking 1 year out.
Hmm. All right. Well, thanks, Gino. Finally, who would you like me to chat with on a future InnovaBuzz podcast, and why?
Wow. You know, it seems like there's a kind of innovation marketing angle to your audience and what you do, if I'm reading it correctly. And so if you can get Joe Polish, he feels like the right fit for you and your audience. And so that's who I would recommend.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll reach out to Joe and see what we can do, see if we can get him on.
Fantastic.
All right. Well, thanks so much for sharing your insights and your time so generously with us today, Gino. I've really appreciated this. It's really highlighted some of the aspects of the book, The Entrepreneurial Leap, a little bit more for me. And I certainly look forward to hearing from my listener about the 16-day entrepreneurial challenge and how they're finding it and how they're finding all your material. So I wish you all the best for the future, and let's stay in touch.
Hope you enjoyed that insightful and wonderfully engaging conversation with Gino and took something away from his episode. Gino's passion in helping entrepreneurs in the making get a jump start on their journey is clear, and I encourage you to read the book and check out the resources that he shared with us there. I'd love to know what you took away from Gino's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which can be found at innovabiz.co/Gino Wickman. That is GINOWICKMAN. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/Gino Wickman. You'll also find contact information for Gino there, as well as links to the Entrepreneurial Leap website, the book, the eLeap assessment, and the other resources we spoke about in today's conversation. Gino suggested we have a conversation with Joe Polish, one of the most sought-after marketers today, on a future InnovaBuzz podcast episode. So, Joe, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Gino Wickman. Tune in again to the next episodes of the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we've got even more fantastic guests lined up, including copywriter Christina Torres and author and LinkedIn influencer Paris Cutler. Thanks for listening to this episode. Make sure you subscribe to the show to be reminded of new episodes. It's free to subscribe. Leave a review if you like. Even if you don't like me, I'm okay with that. I'm asking you to leave a review because it helps other people find this show. Go to innovabiz.co to join our marketing transformation community and access a free gift my team and I made for you. It's the Marketing Master Mini Class. We want to give you everything you need to transform your marketing into a human-centered, relationship-focused growth engine. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating. We'll